Plus Music Hall with Bing Crosby, Victor Borga, John Scott Trotter and his orchestra, the Music Maids and Hal, and Bing's distinguished guest from the United States Army Air Force, Captain Floyd J. Sweet of the Glider Training Detachment. And here's Bing Crosby.
From the halls of Montezuma to the shores of Tripoli, they have fought the country's battles on the land as on the sea. First to fight for right and freedom and to keep their honor clean. They are proud to claim the title of the United States Marines.
Like the United States Marine Corps, friends, the Old Craft Music Hall is getting around these days, being relayed by shortwave to our fighting men in every strategic quarter of the globe. Dutch Harbor, Trinidad, Reykjavik, Corregidor, Port Darwin, North Island, Hawaii. Greetings, men of the United States, soldiers and sailors of the United Nations. Greetings from 135 million citizens to whom no sacrifice can be too great to give you anything and everything you need.
And they need so much. Bing, did you read that the metal in 62 little old toothpaste tubes can hold together all the electrical joints in a heavy bomber?
It takes many more than that to hold Bob Hope together.
Oh, you better buy some string. I understand they're even going to cut down on coins due to the shortage. Did you read that, Ken?
Well, no, I didn't read it, but I've noticed it.
The shortage of metal?
No, the shortage of coins.
Oh.
Might be a small paper shortage, too. They say the life of a dollar bill is only 6 months.
Well, look at me. I never had one die on my hand.
Do you think they'll ever make tires out of some substitute?
Say, it wouldn't surprise me if they made up tires out of chewing gum.
Well, that's ridiculous. What makes you think chewing gum would last?
Did you ever get a piece on your shoe?
Well, whatever we say, war shortages and priorities have changed our ideas about a lot of things.
That's a fact, Ken. You know, I actually cringed the other day when I saw a guy on the boulevard wearing a patch suit.
Now, don't knock a patch, Satch.
What's that?
A patch today is a badge of conservation.
Yes, I know, but this dude was wearing a double-breasted patch with pleats.
Oh.
I suppose you know they're cutting down on the amount of goods in women's clothes by 17%.
Yeah, and if that includes bathing suits, you gals will have to go in the water this summer.
Even slacks are going to be hit, and they're the answer to a girl's war work problem.
Yes, sir, for war work, slacks really do make a gal spick and span.
They'll make her look thick if she hasn't too much span.
Well, she can avoid that span by going easy on sugar, which... Well, that reminds me, Bing. Boys' clubs all over the country have voluntarily cut candy consumption 50% for duration.
Be a great saving on oil.
Huh? Well, how can kids cutting down on candy save oil?
Castor oil.
Oh,
say, I just happened to think... What about rubber heels? Will we be able to get new ones when our old heels are all run down?
Oh, we've got no time, Mary, to worry about running down our heels. We've got to concentrate on running down a pair of heels in Berlin and Tokyo. It's going to take all we got, and it's going to take lots of sacrifices. But nothing we do here, nothing we can possibly give up, bears any relation to what we stand to lose. That's why every American is being approached to pledge a portion of his income for war bonds. Pledge a big portion. Sail first cabin, and when you think you're giving till it hurts, just remember that it can't hurt when you're only giving your money. There's many that are giving more. You're not even giving it, you're lending it to the greatest cause in the world. Those four freedoms without which there never could be any happiness. Happiness can be all kinds of things that gladden the heart, everything from love's first kiss to something as brilliant and intellectual as a song like I Do It. All right, Mary.
Such a pippin. If I do, I get a whippin. I do this. Should I bit of squeezing are all I oughtn't. Oh, Ma, his spell is tripping. If I do, I'll get a whipping. I do this. Oh, I just remember what the mama said. Girl, you gotta mind me. But when there's a cutie buzzing round my head, she's never around to remind me. Should I kiss him? I should have, shouldn't. Oh, Ma, I think I'm slipping. If I do, I'll get a whipping. I do this. They don't know me very well, do they?
If you do this, he gets a whipping.
I do this.
Yikes!
You broke my little song.
Oh, you
broke my little song.
What your mommy said, daughter, you gotta mind me.
But when there's a cutie buzzing round my head, he's never around to remind me. Should I kiss you? Or should I kiss you? Oh, Ma, his hair is wavy. He's a Louis in the Navy. I do this.
Yikes!
I do this.
Yes!
I do it and I do it again.
Thank you very much, Mary. Comes now our friend from Denmark, Victor Borge, who opens later this evening in Hollywood's latest smart spot, The Little Truck. Our best wishes, Victor.
Thank you, Bing. I think I need your best wishes. And the party of eight. But right now, I would like to show you how music very often illustrates something entirely different from what it was meant to illustrate. Like the other morning, I took a shower. It was a very cold shower. Very cold. Was more ice than ice. My radio was on, and a gypsy played his violin. As a matter of fact, I don't know whether it was his violin, but... Anyway, he played a violin, whoever it then belonged to. But he played it very good. And it was funny how the gypsy music illustrated me taking a shower. And I'll show you how he played his violin. But you would think of me taking a shower. When you look at pictures of composers, you wouldn't believe that music could be funny. They all look very sad, and they aren't sad all the time, only when they have their pictures taken. And I can prove to you that they didn't write one single piece of music which doesn't represent a certain kind of laughter. And I'm going to do it now. I even laugh when I think of some of the composer's names. For instance, Tchaikovsky. And Rimsky Korsakov. You see, that's it. And listen to the music they wrote. Always laughter. Certain kind of laughter, of course. Even a simple scale is funny. Ha 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 ha. And here's the Russian laughter. Oh, oh, oh. Then there's the French laughter, the gay laughter.
Ha 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 ha
about this. You know this actor very well. That's a sad kind of laughter. The waltzing laughter. But sometimes there's laughter you are not supposed to hear, even if it is there. Like the other night in New York, I went to the Metropolitan Opera when I heard the Lucy de Lammermoor with a giggly. The soprano was wonderful, and she brought a lot of weight to the opera. About 300 pounds. And she sang five parts in the famous sextet. It was about 60 pounds for each. She started out very seriously, but every time he watched her upper register, he couldn't help laughing. And that spoiled the whole evening. He wasn't supposed to laugh, but I'll show you how it went.
Anything to say to me? Won't you tell me where my love can be? Is there a meadow in the mist where someone's waiting to be kissed? Skylark, have you seen a valley green with spring where my heart can go a-journeying over the shadows and the rain to a blossom-covered lane? And in your lonely flight, haven't you heard the music in the night? Wonderful music, faint as the will-o'-the-wisp, crazy as a loon, sad as a gypsy serenade in the moon. Skylark, I don't know if you can find these things, but my heart is riding on your wings. So if you see them anywhere, won't you lead me in the night? Wonderful music, faint as the will-o'-the-wisp, crazy as a loon, sad as a gypsy serenade in the moon. Skylark, I don't know if you can find these things, but my heart is riding on your wings. So if you see them anywhere, won't you leave me there?
Charming little chanson was written by those two good men, Bertha and Carmichael.
Somebody else is taking my place. Somebody else now shares your embrace. While I'm trying to keep from crying, you go around with a smile on your face. Little you care for vows that you made. Little you care how much I have paid. My heart is aching, my heart is breaking, for somebody taking my place. That you made, little you care how much I have paid. My heart is aching, my heart is breaking for somebody taking my place.
Is back. 1916. World War One is in its third year. 1916. Explosions, the munitions works on Black Tom Island, New Jersey, cost several lives, caused millions of dollars property damage. 1916. Woodrow Wilson is re-elected to the presidency because he kept us out of war. And in every home in the country, men who keep a keen eye on the passing scene are saying...
Gee, how do you like Chris Speaker taking Ty Cobb's place after six seasons? Hmm?
What place, Harry?
It's ahead of the American... League Batten.
Batten what?
Batten baseball. The game. The two leagues. Remember?
Harry, you needn't be so sarcastic. I know all about baseball and how many leagues there are, too. I can even name the leagues. Major and minor.
No. Why do I get mixed up in these things?
Now, which league is this Mr. Cobb in?
He's in the American. He's been leading the American League batting list for 19, 10, 11, 12, 13, 14, and 15. Then along comes Chris Speaker and takes it away from him.
This Mr. Speaker must be very capable.
Very useful man with the willow.
Yeah.
But wait, I'll bet your Cobb comes back next year and wins again. Yeah, 1918, too. Yeah, and in 19, you just wait and see. Oh,
let him wait and see if I care. Say, Harry, is baseball really so interesting?
Interesting. You realize that the gate receipts for the World Series this year were $385,590?
$385,590 for one game?
For the Series. Five games. The Boston Red Sox won 4 and the Brooklyn Dodgers won 1.
1-1. Well, then it was a tie.
The Dodgers only won one game.
Oh, those Brooklyns can't be very good.
Yeah, them bums.
Harry, why don't you get interested in a game you can play? A nice, genteel game like golf.
Yeah, you flip golf past your pool. Yeah, don't catch me running around in them plaid knickerbockers.
Why not? Your mother was a bloomer girl.
Did I say anything about your relatives?
Hmm? Well... I don't see why you can't play golf in just ordinary long pants.
You don't see. Look, Chick Evans wears knickerbockers, and Chick Evans happens to be national open champion and national amateur champion, and you don't see. Hmm. You think he'd wear those little boys' pants if he could dress like a man?
Well, don't baseball players wear knee pants?
Don't change the subject.
Hey, Harry, I see in the paper that they killed Rasputin.
Where was he umpiring?
Rasputin.
Oh.
You know, the mad monk.
Oh, yeah, sure, the mad monk. How could I forget him?
Oh, they're wearing them higher in the wire. Higher, higher, higher in the wire. The beautiful beach at Waikiki is not the only pretty sight that you can see.
Da-da-da-da-da. Oh, Harry. How can you say such things?
What's wrong with that? Did you ever hear?
There's a little bit of bad in every good little girl. And they're all the same.
Oh, is that so? Then why did you choose me?
I don't know.
You didn't know what?
Where did Robinson Crusoe go with Friday on Saturday night?
If you must sing, why can't you sing pretty songs like Roses Are Blooming in Picardy?
Never been there. Say there's nothing wrong with the Pacific Northwest, though.
Gotta go on, I want to go back to Oregon. Hmm. Oh, where they call me Uncle Joe, not Uncle Jack.
Oh, that one. I feel like that one's better. That was like down the silver cymbal, tambourine and timbre, struck my fingers nimble.
That's good, that's good. Like a little philharmonic, but it's good. However, me personally, I think the best song to come out this year is,
Everybody loves a baby, that's why I'm in love with you. Pretty baby, and I
I'd like to be your sister, brother, dad, and mother too. Pretty baby, pretty baby, won't you come and let me rock you in my cradle of love? We'll cuddle all the time. Oh, I want a loving baby, and it might as well be you. Pretty baby of mine. Everybody loves a baby, that's why I'm in love with you. Pretty baby, pretty baby. And I'd like to be your sister, brother, dad, and mother too. Pretty baby, won't you come and let me rock you in my cradle of love? We'll cuddle all the time. Oh, I want a loving baby, and it might as well be you. Pretty baby, oh. Pretty baby of mine.
Hey, Dr. Crosby, are you familiar with that field artillery song, The Caissons Go Rolling Along?
I enjoy singing it very much.
Yes, I've heard you, but do you know it?
Go to your room, young man.
No, now, wait. I just wanted to ask you, just what are caissons?
Caissons?
Yeah.
Caissons, let's see.
Yeah.
They're a sort of a thing that you kind of, whatever call it there. You get wheels on it, the fellas sit on them, and the horses pull them, and they don't pull the mechanizer, the motorizer.
Dr. Crosby.
Yes, you're clear on what a caisson is now, huh?
No, I think we still need a brief pause for caisson identification.
Good night, all. Now that everybody knows what a caisson is, we continue with craft music on matters involving Captain Floyd J. Sweet of the Army Air Force, Glider Training Detachment, Victor Borge, John Scott Trotter at the moment, Mary Martin and friends in Lily from Laguna. There used to be a gal named Lily.
Lily from Laguna.
She met a sailor boy named Willie.
And they sailed away on a schooner. Now all night long.
And most of the day.
You hear a little magic say, oh.
She's my lady love, my only queen, my baby dove. When I bring a ring around to Rose, it's a secret all Laguna knows. I know she loves me. I know she loves me.
How do you know?
Because she said so.
Oh.
She is my lily of Laguna, my only lily and my rose.
At the lolly shop, that's where I meet my lollipop. When he tips his little sailor hat, I can feel my heart go tippy-tap. I know he loves me.
Well, how do you know?
Because he said so. And everybody in Laguna knows I'm his lily and his rose.
Is on the old back purse.
I know he loves me.
I know she loves me.
Oh, well, didn't I say so?
That's what he did. You are my lily of Laguna.
My only lily.
When the Nazis captured the Greek island of Crete with an airborne army riding in gliders, a new form of military transportation passed the experimental stage and brought into sharp perspective the United States Army Air Force Glider Training Detachment down at 29 Palms, California. We saw some newsreels of this group in action a few days ago, and we promptly made arrangements for Captain Floyd J. Sweet to join us here in the Goldcraft Music Hall and bring us up to date on this blossoming branch of the Army Air Force. Just to sort of begin with fundamentals, Captain Sweet, just how would you describe a glider?
It's a box kite with delusions of grandeur.
Well, that's very interesting, Captain. Now tell me, what is a glider?
It's really nothing but a highly efficient airplane having standard airplane controls, but no motor.
No motor? Well, isn't that carrying priorities a little too far?
We got along all right. Gliders can loop the loop, do wing overs and barrel rolls, and even fly in formation, just like powered ships, as long as we have a rising column of air to travel on.
Well, there's no shortage of air down there in the desert at 29 Palms, huh?
None whatever, Bing, and the dry lake we have for our field is, of course, an excellent thermal generator.
Really?
Uh-huh.
Is that good or bad?
That's good. The uneven heating of the ground causes considerable vertical motion of the air. The glider pilot hitches his glider to these rising air masses, or thermals. That's all there is to it.
Oh, it all sounds so terribly simple. I don't understand it at all. How do you get your ship into the air in the first place?
There are various ways, Mary. There's airplane towing, or we can launch them with a winch. Often the glider is lifted into the air by means of a speeding automobile.
Oh, like a pedestrian on Wilshire Boulevard.
Only the gliders land safely.
Oh, 29 Palms, where your field is. Isn't that right in the heart of the date country?
You wouldn't think so to hear the men grumble.
You must know the country pretty well down there, John Scott. You made many a trip down to Palm Springs.
I sure do, Bing. I've been all over around 29 Palms. You know how I like to travel.
I watch you look like a globe, Trotter.
Do you have to take up passengers, Captain Sweet?
Look, John, if you got yourself in mind, Captain Sweet's got a glider, not a flying fortress.
I don't know, Bing. In spite of their flimsy-looking construction, gliders are actually tougher than most power planes. In a thunderstorm, for instance, a high-speed power plane must fight the elements, while a glider can use the disrupted condition to her advantage and literally ride out the storm in safety.
How come you call a glider her?
Ever try to control one?
No comment.
Well, how long can a glider stay up in the air, Captain?
Well, Lieutenant William Cook remained in the air 21 hours. That was at Hawaii. John Robinson, one of our instructors, set a free-soaring record of 290 miles. These are both somewhat short of the international record.
It sounds fantastic to me. How long does it take a man to master the bird-like art of motorless flying?
Our primary course at 29 Palms takes 4 weeks. During that time, a student gets 30 hours in the air, or a total of over 200 flights. Care to come down to the field and try a hop, Bing?
Well, I told the boys I'd be down to the
school. It might be a little strange to you at first. No landing gear, no motor, no propeller.
No thanks. They go in for gliding in Denmark, Victor?
No, Bing. In Denmark, they don't go in for gliding anymore. But they used to go out for gliding because they found out that when they went in for gliding, the ceiling was too low.
Yes. Did you ever go up in a glider, Victor?
That's not for me.
Why? All gliders are equipped with parachutes. In case of emergency, all you have to do is pull the cord.
That's not for me either. A friend of mine once jumped from a high place and pulled the cord, but it didn't do him any good.
Why not?
His neck was in the end of it.
Say, Captain Sweet, how big do these gliders come?
Well, during the spectacular invasion of Crete last year, the Nazis used troop-carrying gliders as big as the average transport plane. Several of these can be towed by one plane and released at a high altitude, many miles from their objective. They glide silently down and land close to the goal. Out of each glider comes a complete combat team, fully equipped and ready for instant action.
Gee, that's a pretty effective offensive weapon.
Yes, and perfect for the air transportation of men, equipment, and supplies. Glider experiments have come along so fast that gliders will probably be the freight trains of the future.
Well, I think it'll take quite a batch of pilots to carry out this glider program for war and peace, Captain. How's the best way for a man to go about getting into the glider department?
Right now, it's desirable that a pilot have at least the minimum training of the Army Air Force primary schools or a civilian pilot training course.
Well, then the way to go about getting into the glider detachment is to take one of the CPT courses or into the Air Force and apply for assignment to the glider detachment.
That's right. And the Army Air Force is at present anxious for the enlistment of air cadets. We are also especially anxious to obtain medical officers. Due to the Army's tremendous expansion program, particularly in the Air Force, there's an acute shortage of flight surgeons.
Well, these doctors, of course, they'll be commissioned, won't they?
Naturally. The grade will depend on experience and other qualifications. All information may be had by writing to the Air Surgeon, headquarters of the Army Air Force, Washington, D.C.
Well, I hope the Air Force gets all the flight surgeons it needs, Captain, and thank you for giving us a healthy respect for those box kites with delusion of grandeur. Keep them flying.
You buy them. We'll fly them.
Okay, Captain.
Fair enough offer, and that's what we're going to do, too. And
here's Mary with a song for the glider detachment.
And from the strains of Oh, By Jingo, we return to our Danish friend, Victor Borger. Got something very special, haven't you, Vic?
Yes, thing it is. You know, when I was a little boy back in Denmark, at night, very often, my mother would sing me a lullaby. And when I grew up, I played it so often for her. This little lullaby was written by a very famous Danish composer, Fini Henriques. It has no special name, just a lullaby. Only a few weeks ago, I heard that Fini Henriques had died, so I would like very much for you people in this country to hear a little of the music written by this famous countryman of mine.
you. That was very lovely, very delicate, and very charming. Comes now that.
That's the hottest satchel full of Memphis blues I ever heard. From now on, we're going to call you John Scorchtrotter. Could we, however, now switch moods and drift delicately into the tune that Burke and Van Heusen wrote for Kay Kaiser's new picture, My Favorite Spy? You know, that just plain lonesome?
We just could, sir.
Well, then let's just do it, sir. I'm glad we made the most of every moment. Those memories help a lot while we're apart. I don't mean to say I'm unhappy, and I don't think I've got a broken heart. Just plain lonesome, that's how I feel tonight. Just plain lonesome, that's what it is, all right. I don't feel bad. Just, you know, kind of sad. I got your letter. Told all the neighborhood. And your picture. Gee, but you're looking good. Outside of that, nothing new. Just plain lonesome for you. I don't feel bad. Just, you know, kind of sad. I got your letter. Showed all the neighborhood. And your picture. Gee, but you're looking good. Folks all miss you. Outside of that, nothing new. Just plain lonesome for you. Until next Thursday, friends, that's got to get it. 1 week from now, however, same time meeting took up tonight, we'll all be back in the old Kraft Music Hall. We, of course, being Mary Martin, Victor Borge, John Scott Trotter and his orchestra, Ken Carpenter, the music maids and Hal. Over and above, and in addition to these sterling regulars, we're also expecting Commander Gene Tunney of the United States Navy, Larry Adler, harmonica virtuoso, and the charming young picture star, Joan Leslie. That's next Thursday. Right now, won't you join all of us right here in the Kraft Music Hall in listening to an important message from Price Administrator Leon Henderson. Mr. Henderson will speak to you from Washington.